Well, happy new year, work advisors. This is work advice for me. I'm your host, Brad, host with the most. This is a new year. I cannot believe that it is 2024 already. I feel like 2023 just blew by. But today, you know, when the new year happens, we all want to make positive changes in our life. Some people are like, I'm throwing my wife out. Some people are like, you know what? My husband can hit the road. No, I'm not talking about those. Those are negative. Those are negative changes. No work advisors. My wife was not thrown out of the house. She's very much in love with me. And I very much in love with her. But today, we have someone coming on that you are going to want to hear. We have Heidi Powell. Yeah, if you don't know who Heidi Powell is, shame on you. But if you do, no, I'm not shaming you, but if you don't, you're going to know after this conversation. Heidi Powell is a mom of four kids, a New York Times best-selling author. She hosted ABC's Extreme Weight Loss. She's a body and mind coach, and she's host of Heidi's Lane. I'm telling you, she never stops. Our chat was so much fun, and I hope it's going to encourage you to make a positive change this year, 2024, in your life, because Heidi brings it. I'm telling you, she was one of my favorite guests to chat with. She is part of the Work Advice family, and we love that she took some time to hang out with me and talk a little bit. But before we get to that, we have questions. And this question comes from Jack. Oh, Jack. Jack in Des Moines, Iowa. Yeah, I've never been to Iowa, but I've always not wanted to go. So Jack asked, it's hard to say that. Jack asked, he says, Brad, I loved your conversation with Allison. I'm glad you loved it, Jack. Really, I am. Brad, have you ever been on the news? Okay. So I'm starting to wonder what the listeners really want to know, because last episode, Jenny, I think it was Jenny, she asked, have I ever basically been a Karen? And now Jack's wondering if I've been on the news. Yes, Jack, I have. I was on the news one time because I streaked at a football game. Did you like that pause there? No, Jack, I did not streak. I don't think I've been on the news. I know that's a lame answer. I've never been on the news. I don't understand the streaking, though. Like, I loved it in old school, but I don't understand it now. I don't think I would want to take my clothes off at a professional sporting event. You know, I should have asked Allison that question. Has she ever seen a streaker in an event? Yeah. I have not streaked, nor have I been on the news negatively or positively. I did, when we were getting married, have my wife get on the news one time, and she still makes me... rubs my face in that and makes me remember that she had to get on the news. So yes, Jack from Des Moines, Iowa, I have not been on the news, but Mrs. Work Advice, my wife, has been on the news. Hey, if you love this show, like Jack obviously does, you can email questions at workadviceforme@gmail.com. And we encourage you to follow the show. Yeah. Follow Heidi Powell. Follow her Instagram. She has a lot you can follow. She is great. If you love the show, like and subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. I just had a brain fart right there. iTunes and Spotify. Leave us some good reviews. The more reviews, the better. We get out there a little more so people can hear the shenanigans we got going on Work Advice. And also, follow us on Instagram. Slide into our DMs if you want to. Ask me a question. I will answer it much like I answered Jack and Jenny's questions the last few episodes. With that being said, let's begin to lose some weight, crank up our headphones, and listen to Heidi Powell. Okay, Heidi, thank you for taking some time to chat with me. I want to ask you first, what was your childhood like?
Oh, man. okay, what direction are we going towards? When you say, what was my childhood like? I could go in so many directions.
Go in the direction you want to go in, because I love asking that question.
Oh, man. Okay. So my childhood, I will say I hit the jackpot with family. That's for sure. Like, I have a really great a mom and dad who tried their hardest. That's what I will say. My dad's no longer alive. My mom is, and she and I are best friends now. They were babies raising babies. Well, this is what I will say. We were a very close-knit family. My dad, from a very young age, preached blood is thicker than water. And we was a very strict household where fitness was a priority. And, yeah, I was raised in the gym. I was raised to be athletic. I was raised to be smart and hardworking. And a lot of things that, again, it's my parents thinking, you know, doing their best and trying their hardest. And it's a great thing because I am all of those things. And also, Maddox, you better shut those cupboards a little quieter. And also, it created a lot of pressure, you know? And I think that pressure for a lot of things led to an eating disorder. And so I did struggle with an eating disorder from about 15 to my early 20s. But I can't blame my parents for it, right? It's like we as kids internalize and process our childhood the way that we do. But I do know my parents put a lot of effort into being the best parents they could be. My adulthood's a lot better than my childhood. I will say that. I like being an adult a lot better.
Well, when you talk about fitness at a young age, what did your regimen look like at a young age for fitness when your dad was introducing that to you?
So I was a gymnast growing up. Just being involved in some kind of sport was really important to my family, to my dad. So I was a gymnast, and then I was a cheerleader, which probably caused a little more of that pressure, right? And probably about high school age, in addition to with cheer, because cheer was a sport where I came from. Like, we were national champions, and it was a big deal. And we had to do weightlifting during school. We ran after school. We trained really hard. We were athletes. But then in addition, probably around that high school age, I do remember my dad would wake me up in the morning and drag me to the gym with him, which is not a thing I will do for my kids, because I know he just wanted me to experience what he had experienced, right? Like, mm-hmm. He wanted me to, something that had changed his life, he wanted it to change mine. But as a 15-year-old girl, I internalized that, and I internalized them feeding us snack wells and fat-free foods as, oh my gosh, something's wrong with me. They're trying to fix me. And that's not what they meant, right? They just meant, hey, live a healthy lifestyle like we do and you'll feel good like we do.
How many siblings do you have?
I have three brothers.
Oh, so you're the only daughter.
I am the only daughter, which is why there are so many. My mom and I talk about it now. We're like, gosh, oh, bye, buddy. Love you so much. Hey, did you clean up your mess? Okay.
It's fine.
Love you. In real time. We got parenting in the podcast.
I love it.
So, yeah, I had three siblings, three brothers, and my mom and I now joke, and I don't know if it's much, but my dad just didn't know how to raise a girl, right? Like, I was one of the boys that kind of got rolled into the pack. It was like I was a little puppy in a pack of wolves, and it made me tough and it made me strong. And also, it had me thinking I was one of the boys in the real world, and life quickly told me I wasn't. You know what I'm saying?
So you could, I guess it was your dad's way of bonding with you too, right? By taking you to the gym. Would you look at it that way?
You know, So this is now we're getting into childhood trauma. Right?
Oh, I did not mean for you to have to go that way.
No,
I'm just,
that's good. Let's do it. I can go anywhere, because it's interesting you say that, because I think over the past handful of years, it has been a struggle for me because I have felt like, man, my dad didn't bond with me the way that he did with the boys, right? Like mm-hmm. He was just tough on me and he didn't know, you know, a girl needs to be told that she's beautiful. She needs to be told that your dad, you know, dad is proud of her. And I didn't hear that, right? Because he treated me like the boys. And the boys, it was like, hey, I can be hard on you and tough on you, and I'll make up for it by bonding and coaching your baseball teams or your football team. And so when you say that, but more recently, it's been like, okay, I think his way of bonding with me was taking me shopping, or you just said it, like going to the gym. Now in hindsight, what I internalized as, oh, something is wrong with me, was really probably him saying, let me spend time with you, you know. But it's interesting, as kids, we hear what we want to hear, you know.
We totally do. And now you have 4 kids, right?
I do.
So
yeah.
How do you balance time with them with your busy schedule and figuring out what they do where you can bond with them? Because personally for me, my son loves to play. He's very athletic, but he loves to play Fall Guys on Xbox. And it's so hard for me to want to sit there and play a video game because I feel like it's just dead time. It doesn't do anything, right? But how do you find that balance with them to do what they want to do and not what you want them to do?
I think that's such a great question. And I really do, especially having children who are they're the child of two parents, right? Mm-hmm. Me and Chris, who are in the spotlight. I think a child naturally feels like they need to, or they should, or to be enough, they need to follow in your footsteps, right? And so I try often to tell my kids, Cash, my third son, is especially susceptible to it, but I try and tell him often, hey, I would rather you do what you want to do always. Like, don't look at me, don't look at dad, don't try and do, because I think there will always be a not enoughness. And even in that, like knowing that, because that's kind of the goal, it has me being like knowing, like, Cash is a gamer and it's really hard for me. And also, I have to, like, I've had a lot of come to Jesus moments with myself where I'm like, man, if I don't want this kid to resent me, I have to find ways to be excited about Pokemon, right? Like, I have to find ways to celebrate that he loves it, but every single part of me wants to fight it and wants to tell him it's going to turn his brain to mush and, you know, all those things. Now, so one of my ways of balancing these kinds of things, so this goes with nutrition and exercise. So I love, I'm okay if he plays games. However, with restrictions, like, did you do all of your chores? Is your room cleaned? Did you practice piano? Like, have you been active today? So he does jujitsu. So as long as there's some form of activity, it could be going outside and hanging out on the street. I don't even care what it is. Like, but be active. If there's been that, check, 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 I'm totally okay with him playing games. I am. As long as it doesn't interfere with his homework and his ability to stay focused in school, which sometimes it can, right?
100%.
Same goes with nutrition for my kids. I'm not the mom who won't let my kids have Oreo cookies or Cinnamon Toast Crunch. No, I will. But my only stipulation is, have you had protein? Like, what are you? Have you had protein? And have you had vegetables today? And if they've had, fruits are easy. Kids love fruits. But like, my thing is, protein's hard to get, and you need it to build your muscles, and veggies are hard. But yeah, cool. You did? Yeah, have those cookies. Whatever. You know? But it's all about balance and moderation.
What's your favorite vegetable?
Oh, man. Okay, so my favorite, for them or for me?
For you.
So a really beautifully cooked batch of Brussels sprouts. Like, there's this place in Arizona here called City Hall. It's a steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the best Brussels sprouts, but you know, it's just like 90% oil and 10% vegetable. But they're really good.
You know, I want to go back to, I agree. Brussels sprouts are great. I like broccoli too. I think if you, but broccoli's a cool vegetable, but you always want to add cheese to it, and then it becomes not healthy anymore.
So, but like, here's the thing. I know what you're saying, but I found the art of just properly, like, if you cook broccoli enough, I don't know, this is my thing, and you add enough good seasonings like salt, you're like, you don't even realize that there's not cheese in it.
I like that tip. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. We talk about the health, and the world today makes it so easy to be obese. It really does. It's cheaper for someone to go to McDonald's and buy a Big Mac than it is to create a healthy meal at their house, which to me is a shame, because broccoli isn't bad. Although my son, I have to fight him to eat it when we do have it. But yeah, I agree totally with you. And I wanted to ask you, what's
coping? I want to throw something out to that point. You said it's more inexpensive to eat unhealthy. I actually would argue the other side of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People do not realize how inexpensive it is to eat healthy. Like, if you were to go to the store and get a 10-pound stack of potatoes, you're going to pay under 10 bucks for a 10-pound stack of potatoes. I mean, like, you might pay $3 or $4 for that, right? If you, like, you go to Costco and you get a big thing of chicken or whatever, you're going to pay a lot less per serving than you actually would if you went to McDonald's. You're not going to get out of McDonald's for spending less than 10 bucks for a cheap meal, you know? So the reality is, it's more convenient.
Yes, that's the word.
To eat that food, but it's a lot less expensive to eat healthy.
Yes, I agree. I should have said convenient. That's more of the, I'm glad you said that, because it's so much more convenient just to go through a drive-through than to make a healthy meal when you've got kids and they're hungry.
Yeah.
And you've worked all day.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, what does co-parenting look like in your life?
Oh, man. I have two ex-husbands. So I have two baby daddies. My first two kids are with my first husband, and my second two are with my second husband. So co-parenting, it looks different with both of them because the dynamic of the children are different, right? And what each kid's needs are completely different as well. But I will say, because Chris and I have spent so much time together, Chris is my second ex-husband, with whom I have cash. Because Chris and I have spent so much time together, and we actually got to learn a lot from how effectively or not effectively I co-parented with my first ex-husband. He and I have a really great thing going. It's super simple. Like, I think the number one tip I would say is, if you put the kids first, it's all easy. And that's easier said than done. Because I think a lot of parents they want to couch it as they're putting the kids first, but really it's their ego, right?
Yes, definitely. You know, you do so many things. I look at your resume, and it's really amazing.
And
I can't help but think, gosh, what's the struggle like for you? How do you turn your work brain off? Because it's hard for me to turn my work brain off. I come home, my wife's like, I need you present. You know, you don't.
How old are your kids again?
I have a 10 and then an 18-year-old at the house, but he's from South Sudan. So we've just had him for a year. Yeah, but I have a 10-year-old and an 18-year-old. And when I come home, it's hard for me to turn off my brain from work. And she's like, I need you present. So it has to be a struggle for you with all you do. How do you handle that?
If I'm being totally honest, I don't handle it well. It's really hard for me still. And I think that's my, if I were to say what my biggest struggle in life is, it's that. Because I'm such an all or nothing person, like, when I am all in and work, and I think that's an entrepreneurial thing, right? We don't work a 9-to-5, so we don't turn our brain off at night and hang out with the kids and not think about what's going on. But I also think that practice makes progress in anything, right? So it's like I've had to a handful of times go from doing it all to breaking and saying, I'm not going to do anything. and being with my kids. And then, okay, next time I go in, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to try and do a little bit less. I'm going to try and half go in, and then I build. I break again, and then I come back out and I be with my kids. So it's every single time. It's like I love the phrase, don't be afraid to start over, because you're not starting from scratch. You're starting from experience. And so as an entrepreneur, I think we do have the freedom and the luxury of being able to start and stop whenever we want, right? Like, we get to make our own schedules. We get to decide how far in or out we go, depending on what our business is. And so I do vacillate quite a bit, and it's in then out, and it, and every time I think getting a little bit more toward that middle, the balance that I really want. But I do, I think just on that note though, a really good thing about me being an all in person is when I am able to disconnect, like I am completely disconnected from work and I'm all in with my kids, you know?
And that's a really good thing to be able to do, because it's a struggle for a lot of people just to turn it off, you know? And
I know.
It's so hard. I struggle with that on a daily basis. But I don't want to be someone my kids resent because I wasn't there. What you just said.
You know, and let me say to that, I think it takes messing up to do it right. You know, like I that's when I say, I mentioned I have two sets of kids, two batches. And I feel like I learned at the expense of my first two kids in some ways. And I hate that. And also I love it because it's helped me really soak in the last years that I have with them. And I don't think I wouldn't appreciate my kids nearly as much if I hadn't missed out on a lot of the years that I've had. Like, my 18-year-old is 18, and I've never been more grateful that he struggled in school and I had to hold him back, because I have one more year that I wouldn't have had otherwise. But like, I look at my two little kids, the 12 and the 9-year-old, and I soak in every moment with her. And I have from a very young age. And it's almost like I was afforded, like I have grandbabies with my two little ones, and I treat them that way sometimes, where my big ones are like, now it's, you know, I'm all in with them. But I honestly hate to admit that I don't remember a lot of their years because of how crazy our schedule was.
Well, what's the saying? The days are long, but the years are short, right?
Yeah.
You blink and your kids are already 18 years old and you're like, where did the time go? I think that a lot. I look at my 10-year-old and I remember when he was born, and now I'm like, gosh, we got 8 years left before he's gone off to college.
Those 8 years go faster than the first 10. I like, at 13, something happens and time disappears. So can it, there's that song. I don't remember who sings it, but I just put it on my story the other day. It's called Don't Blink. It's some country song. You need to look it up. And I was crying listening to it.
Well, you totally depressed me now.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to flip this around.
We
can talk about it.
But I do want to ask you this, because
let's
you train.
Let's go back to broccoli and Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, let's go back to broccoli. But you do train a lot of people. And I want to ask you, in your mind, because you're very strong, you're very strong-willed, you have to be to do what you do. How discouraging is it? Or, okay, let me ask you this, two question with that. When you meet someone that says, I want to lose weight.
Yeah.
How can you look at them and hear a minute of what they're talking about, and in your mind, are you sizing them up going, they're never going to make it because they're not truly ready? It's kind of like going to rehab if you're not really ready to face the issue. Do you have that knack where you can look at someone and go, yeah, I don't think so? Or do you think they don't sound like it, but I'm going to whip them into shape and they're going to appreciate it and they're not going to quit?
Okay. So that's a good question. And I'm going to like unpeel this.
Sorry. It
like,
was a long one.
It's not unpeel it, cause that would be putting it back together. I'm going to peel this is what I'm going to do. So if someone's coming to me, so first of all, I don't think it's as simple as, oh, they want it or they don't, right? Mm-hmm. If someone's coming to me and saying, I want to lose weight, the first thing, if automatically I'm like, no, you don't. Like, they don't really want to lose weight. They think they want to lose weight, but really what they want, and I'm going to help them get to this, but what they really want is they want to love who they are. Like, they want to be accepted by other people. They want to be in a bikini. And so my thing is, I'll start by saying, well, why do you want to lose weight? Some people might say, well, I want to be a better mom. I want to be able to play with my kids. I want to get in swimsuit shape. I want to do X, Y, Z. I want to look good for my husband. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. Okay, well, why do you want to look good for your husband? Why do you want to look good in the bikini? Why this? Well, I want people, just, it goes down to, they want people to accept who they are, right? So at the base of everyone wanting weight loss, they just want to be enough and they want to be lovable. And so one of my things that I say often in my groups is, I'll bring you in with what you think you want, which is weight loss and nutrition advice. And then when you're here, I'm going to serve you what you really need, which is actually how to love yourself, how to feel and know in your heart of hearts that you're enough. And then we'll go from there. Now, if someone comes to me and says, I don't really care to lose weight, but my mom wants me to lose weight, or my wife is on me, I've got to get this weight off of me. Or if a mom comes to me and says, my son needs to lose weight, those are the people that are not ready. So anyone that's doing it for someone else, they're not ready. And I have no problem telling somebody, you're not ready. I would never waste my time. I would never take somebody's money if they were doing it because someone else wanted them to, because it's going to be, even if they lose that weight, it's very temporary. Anyone though, who says, I want to lose weight, those words, there's major hope, but it's a matter of if they're willing to dig in deep enough to why they think they want to lose weight, because it's bigger than that.
So from what I'm hearing, a lot of people that want to lose weight, it's more of a psychological, it's more of in your mind than actual wanting. You're wanting it to feel better about yourself.
Well, if you think about it, why do we think we need to lose weight? You know, unless it's a medical thing, why do we think we need to be skinnier? Why do we think we need more muscles? It's because society and culture has told us what is acceptable or what we need to look like to be enough, right? Women everywhere for decades, centuries, I don't know, a long time. Forever, we felt like we need to look like something in particular that particular society and culture has put up on a pedestal and flashed on magazines and all over websites telling us is beautiful and enough, right? So we think we need it because of that. So really what we want is to be beautiful and enough,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, if there's a medical concern, there's some stat, I wish I had it, but there is some stat, it's something like, you're 5 times more likely to lose the weight and keep it off if the reason you are losing it is for a medical emergency, because then your mortality is flashed before your eyes, right? And it's like, if I don't do this, then I'm going to die. And suddenly it becomes really real, and it's about so much more than being enough. So that is a different beast.
It's just I feel like there's so many people that want to lose weight today that I know in my personal life that just don't have the energy or the drive.
Okay.
Or they don't have you. That's it. They don't have a you.
No.
Maybe my wife and
they,
I need a
they
you.
They don't need me.
Hmm?
But they don't need me. What they need is they need knowledge. I don't think it's that they don't have the drive, and I don't think it's that they don't have the energy. I think they don't realize how simple it is. Like, it's just a lack of education. If I go back to my eating disorder, I had some emotional stuff that I needed to work through. And it was probably childhood trauma based and all that stuff. But really, it was also a lack of education. I just did not know what food actually did to my body. I didn't know that everything I ate wasn't going to turn to fat. So same, people who want to lose weight, when something feels overwhelming to you, what's your first thought? If you're like, gosh, I need to go tackle my closet, but there's so much. Like, if I need, oh my gosh, when I pull this shelf down, this is going to come falling out. And that. When it's overwhelming, it's like you give up before you even start, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the thing you don't even want. Same with weight loss. And I think weight loss is even bigger because people don't know the path. People think the path is what you eat and how you move. And it is, right? It's calories in, calories out. If you eat at a calorie surplus, you're going to gain weight. If you eat at a deficit, you're going to lose weight. However, the real magic is not in the plan, because there are 1 million plans online. It's in how to adhere to a plan, which becomes behavioral and it becomes emotional and it becomes psychological. So it's taking away the idea. I mean, if anyone listening wants a first step, it's taking away, remove the idea that you have to do everything all at once. In fact, like, don't only remove it, but like never, ever, ever, ever approach it that way again, because you might, anytime anyone has started a diet, anyone, and failed, it's because they start on Monday with about 50 things that they need to do, and they might stick to it for 2 days, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe they even reach their goal at the end, but because it's not sustainable, right, they fall off track. I think stats say 90% of people fail within the first 10 days of a diet, and it's because they take on too much at once. And so if we remove that and we realize that it's more about our integrity, doing what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it, and it has nothing to do with what we're putting in our bodies, and understanding that in order to build integrity, we have to shrink down those promises. So instead of doing 50 things at once, I have every single person that I work with start with one power promise. So a power promise is something so stupidly simple, you can do it every single day. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's like, it can be brushing your teeth. I actually had one girl who started her journey by committing every single day to brushing her teeth, and she lost 80 pounds. Yeah, it grew from there, and that has absolutely nothing to do with her losing weight, but it has everything to do with her ability to know that when she says something, when she makes a commitment, she can actually stick to it, right? Because for years and years and years, her entire life, she has committed to something and failed over and over and over. She has absolutely no integrity, and she doesn't think she can do anything. So if we can wipe the slate clean, make that power promise so stupidly simple, and stick to that for a week or 2 weeks, and then build from there. Okay, now that we have that, why don't we deliberately move for 5 minutes a day? That's all I want you to do. Okay, 5 minutes a day. Okay, well, now let's add protein at every meal. I'm not even going to have you, like, eat a plant. Just commit 5 times a day, you're going to put protein in every single meal. Okay, cool, we got that. Now let's commit to drinking. I want you to drink half your body weight in ounces of water a day, but is that attainable? Probably not. So if you're drinking 8 ounces, I want you to drink 32 ounces of water a day. So it's all about those baby steps from where you are now to where you want to go. It's not A to Z, it's A to B, B to C, C to D, right? And then you get to pick where happiness is for you. Maybe it's M, maybe it's Z, but you pick.
I love that. And I love the idea of a power promise. I'm going to tell my wife that tonight. We make power promises to do things. And that is so simple. Brush your teeth every day. For me and for you, that's easy because we do that every day. But I guess for some people, it's not an everyday occurrence.
Well,
or
I mean,
it is, but they're just got to stick to it.
And it could be anything. It could literally, like, for you want mine, I still have one. I tell people to always, always, always have a power promise. Like, what is something you know you can check off your list every day? What is one win? There was a really great talk. I mean, I wish I knew who it was from, and I don't. It was some, I don't know, army guy. I don't know. But he basically was saying it was the power of making your bed every day. And so mine is actually making my bed. I love it. And knowing that even if I have a day that goes sideways and I don't do all of the things I said I was going to get to, I know I woke up and first thing in the morning, I had a win, right? Because what happens if we feel like a failure every single day and we don't keep ourselves winning, we're going to act like a failure tomorrow. But if we know how to keep ourselves winning every day. And with my clients, if I know how to keep them winning and inching forward and focusing on the 1% better that they did today, better than they had done yesterday, then I know tomorrow they're not going to wake up and throw their hands up and say, I can't do it. Why would I even try? Because I can't do anything. Because that's what happens to most people, right?
I love your power promise, because to me, there's nothing better than coming home and getting ready to go to bed and walking into a made-up bed. I love that. It's relaxing.
Yeah.
For me personally. So that's a good power promise. I'm going to start doing that every day. I love making the bed. I'm with you on making the bed. It's
Yeah.
I don't like my floors having any clutter in them either when I lay down, because it's just relaxing. Who wants to go to bed with a bunch of junk in your room?
I know. I can't think if my room's not orderly.
Yeah. So let me ask you this as we round it out. I want to ask you, how do you handle, what's something that you were doing that wasn't successful and you thought it would have been successful, or it was successful to you, but it didn't go over well to anyone else? And how do you handle setbacks and you know, because we're all going to have setbacks in life. What's your way of handling it, and how would you handle those at 22 compared to today?
Oh, man. Okay, so there's a lot of questions in there. So
yeah.
Let me go this way, because I'm going to miss some of those questions. So if I don't answer
I'll re-ask it.
Yeah, again, but how about this? Someone once said to me, and it's stuck ever since, they say, you either win or you learn, right? And once you can adopt that mindset of you either win or you learn, there's really no such thing as a failure. I think you can fall, but you don't necessarily have to fail. We actually have a teaching that I teach my people. It's called fall without failing, right? You only fail when you actually give up. But if you're falling over and over and over, you're actually just falling and learning how to stand back up stronger every single time. And so I think that I can't think of one particular thing that I thought was successful that the world didn't, because I think for me, everything completely flip-flopped. And I think no matter what the world tells me is successful, I never feel like it is. Like it's not enough for me. I think I'm my toughest critic, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think 22, I mean, I was not the person I am today at 22. So I think a 22-year-old version of me, I didn't even know that I had what it took to be like a server. I'm not kidding you. Like I was a hostess at a restaurant, and I like remember looking at the servers and being like, I don't even know how they do that. Like I was like, I worked at Bank One in the call center, and I didn't think I had what it took to be a teller. So like that little fixed-minded girl is completely different today than I am now, is completely different today than I was then. So she wouldn't have been able to handle a setback, right? I think that's what kept me in my eating disorder and in my sadness and my fixed mindset. Where today I know, I have a much more expanded perspective of the world. And I think you can't read a book to get that. I think you just have to fall over and over and over, and you have to have things happen. You have to have your support, who is your dad, die. You have to have anything that was a crutch or a brace that caused atrophy in your soul or your abilities. You have to have them pulled away. Like, I believe God in the universe is powerful in that way. And when you need to grow, something's thrown at you that forces you to, you know?
100% agree with you. And if you're not trying, I chatted with Jimmy DiResta a while back, and he said, you got to have more than one idea. You can't just have one idea, because you don't want to be that guy that dies and everybody goes, well, he just had one idea, or he had a bunch of ideas and never used them. So you'll try anything, right? And that's the good thing. If people are listening, you got to just keep trying.
Yeah, you do. You do. And yeah, I mean, you just sparked something where I think I used to exist in a realm where I cared about what people thought about me when I died, and I don't now. And I care more about what my kids think about me. There's a really great children's book called Hope for the Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. It kind of takes the hamster wheel that I think we're all inside of, and it's keeping us all spinning and trying to come up with ideas. And it puts perspective and helps you realize that sometimes the more you let go and you surrender, there's something called an ACH, an automatic creative mechanism that humans, caterpillars, we all have, right? And for caterpillars, when they stop in this book climbing the caterpillar pillar, which is like the hamster wheel, it's like the human hamster wheel. Everyone's going to a place. You need to read it to your 10-year-old, your kids. they're all going to, no one knows where they're going, but they're climbing this massive pillar of caterpillars. And what they don't realize is it's really like a death trap. Like it leads to absolutely nowhere. But the caterpillars that say, okay, I'm not going to follow the sheep or follow the caterpillars that are doing this, and I'm going to let go and let God. They climb down and the ACM kicks in, which then has them going up to a little leaf and cocooning and becoming a butterfly who flies far above all the other caterpillars. So I think sometimes releasing ourselves from the pressure of we need to have some massive idea that's going to make us enough in the world and help us provide impact, and just allowing us to be who we are is the best thing we can do. And it's enough.
I totally agree with you. And I hope people really hear that, because so many people want to be something that they strive to be that they may never attain. And it's just that lifelong, they're doing what you're talking about, climbing to nothing.
Get that book.
I'm going to definitely get that book. I will get that book and read it to my son. Last question. What's your favorite reality TV show? And what do you, two questions, favorite reality show?
I don't know the last time I watched one.
Really? What's your favorite TV show then? Better question. What do you do just to relax? Like, what do you do just for you, not for your kids? Like, what's something you do? Like, I love to play golf, so I'll go out and play golf.
I could say the last TV thing that I watched that was really good. I went through a phase where I watched a lot of these sports documentaries.
Ooh,
the documentary. So like Legacy was really good. That's the Lakers one. Obviously Last Dance with Michael Jordan was really good. Watched the Jeter one. Watched the Tom Brady one. And then there was a one that was not good. It was a baseball one. I can't think of it. That's how memorable it was.
Well, it is baseball.
Yeah. I think those are the last ones I watched. But it's been a while.
Well,
but what do I do for me? I occasionally get a massage.
That's a good thing to get, though, right?
It is, yeah.
It's relaxing.
I like my body taken care of.
Yeah, well, Heidi, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I really appreciate
it.
You're
welcome.
I've learned a lot, and I cannot wait to do my power promise with my wife.
Oh, well, someday if I come back to the real world and do my groups and challenges and things, you guys need to join, because your wife would love it. You guys both would.
Definitely
you
will.
Get a lot out of it. Like, you just got a little tiny dust speck of what you would get out of it. I don't know.
We'll
see what the future brings.
Totally appreciate it, and I've learned a lot. Even if it's just a little speck, I've learned a lot, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, Brad. Thank you. It was so nice to talk to you.
It was nice. Thank you so much, Heidi.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, admit it, you are going to start wanting to lose weight now. You have listened to Heidi, and now you are ready to put that Oreo down and go step on that scale and go, you know what, work advice, I'm going to show you, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Hey, lose 20 pounds and then send us a DM in Instagram letting us know you've lost weight because of Heidi Powell. Hey, happy new year from Work Advice. We want to say thank you for listening. If you like the show, don't forget, like and subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Slide into our DMs if you have a question. We'll answer it. Me or B will answer your question. This podcast is brought to you by Hopecast. My name is Brad, and I'll catch you next time on Work Advice for Me.